You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. Well, another long day, and I bet you had a long day. How was your day at the range today?
I am so tired. Hey, I'll tell you what, it's hot out there, and we're out there with the Street Safe Defense and the Carrying Concealed Weapon class, and we had a blast, okay? Pun intended.
Yeah, okay. I was going
to
say.
But it's hot out there, and we had to keep watering up. I kept them in the shade as much as I can, but I'm glad it's over with, and I'm glad I'm back with you, and no coffee tonight. It's iced tea with extra ice.
Okay, and how did all the students do today?
They did good. Everybody passed. We actually had an older guy in the class. I think he was probably about 80 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, and actually he shot well. So
good.
Pretty happy with that. You know, anytime that you can teach a CCW class in California, that's sort of a special thing, right? So
yep.
Everybody is weaponizing because of the political atmosphere here in the state.
Well, the political atmosphere, the atmosphere with letting felons out of prison all the time, the atmosphere with that we don't know what we're getting with all of the illegals in the state. So there's lots of reasons.
Well, you know, with Proposition 109 and Proposition 46 that they bamboozled the public here in voting, our low-informed voters here in California, they said, oh, well, this is going to end prison overcrowding. Well, it wasn't exactly a lie because they took all those felons, including violent felons and sexual offenders and burglars and stuff, and they released them out onto the street by the tens of thousands. And then they eviscerated state parole, so there's really nobody really watching these guys. And people are so concerned that there has been an astronomical increase in people applying for concealed carry weapon permits.
Well, and as I think that they should, because by releasing all those people, they're available and ready to re-victimize the public.
Well, you know, and thank God we have Sheriff Stan Sniff here in Riverside County mm-hmm. that has a very reasonable CCW permit policy, and as well as several of the chiefs in Riverside County. So we are training hundreds of responsible citizens to carry concealed weapons.
Right. Well, you know what? There was, that just reminds me, a little off the subject, but on the subject, that there was, I believe it was in Florida, there was an instance just this last week where a man went into a business and threatened someone with a gun. And the person didn't have a permit, but somebody else in the store did. And he then threatened that person, and that person said, oh, I don't think so, and shot him.
Wow.
Didn't kill him, but, you know, and of course, he was totally within his rights because he had a gun pointed at him at the moment that he shot him. But had he not had that weapon on him, Ron, who knows what would have happened to those two men in the store?
Oh, no. You know, I agree. And there was another story that just came out this week, and I don't remember where it was, but it was at a location where you could carry, you know, in a state where you could carry, and in a city you could carry concealed weapon, but the store, a restaurant, had posted a sign saying weapons not allowed inside the restaurant. Well, guess what happened? Guys came in to rob the restaurant, but also additionally, they just weren't interested in money. They were interested in threatening the people. Well, two of the patrons of the restaurant escaped, ran to their cars, got their guns that they had put in their cars because they weren't allowed to have them in a restaurant, and then re-entered and confronted these guys. And there was, I believe there was a shooting, but they managed to stop that event.
Well, you know what? I mean, thank goodness that they were able to get out, but chances would be that they wouldn't be able to get out with somebody who has a gun. So, I mean, that really came out well, but it could have gone really badly another way.
Well, you know, it's like I tell people in all of my classes, carrying deadly force is an awesome responsibility. Just look at what happens to police officers. I don't want you to take people on. I want you to be a good witness. But when the chips are down and you're threatened or your family's threatened and you can't escape and there's no other way that you can resolve this situation short of getting shot and killed yourself or someone in your family, I tell them, hey, you have to make the decision for yourself. But I always enforce the thought that you want to be a good witness and you want to avoid that use of deadly force. And that's what creates the responsible gun owner.
Yep, I agree. Well, I'd like to talk about the election.
Oh, I've got plenty to say. Well, do you want to start in California?
let's start in California because that's where we happen to be at this moment, still traveling. But really, really interesting that things turned out the way that they did. It wasn't quite the
blue wave, was it?
The blue wave that was thought to be going to happen. And
not
especially
a bit.
Because California has a jungle primary, which is that the top two vote getters get to be in the election. So that could be two Republicans, could be two Democrats, or could be one of each. And the Democrats were counting on it being two Democrats, and that did not happen.
No, not a bit. As a matter of fact, there were at least two Republicans, I think a Libertarian, and then there were at least two or three Democratic candidates, including the former mayor of Los Angeles, Anthony
Villaraigosa,
mm-hmm. who we remember, who basically destroyed Los Angeles, and of course Gavin Newsom, who used to be the mayor of San Francisco and
right.
then went up and took the lieutenant governor's slot at the time. And as it turned out, the people that the Republicans put forth as candidates were John Cox, who actually is not originally from California. He's from Illinois. He's from Chicago.
Okay.
And also Travis Allen. Now, I, even though I'm not a resident of California anymore, but, you know, I was for Travis Allen. But President Trump endorsed John Cox. John Cox came in second.
That's great.
And Villaraigosa was
way,
right out.
Way behind.
Not even in the pack.
Yeah. Well, and so this gives Californians a choice. And although I worry about the direction that they may go in just because it's a habit with California to always vote Democrat, here's my take on it, Ron. If people will vote with their brains, if people will really look at what's happened in this state under the Democrats, they have got to make a change. Whatever that change is, they've got to make a change here because they are paying the highest taxes, the highest water bills, letting all of the prisoners out of prison, the traffic, the roads, all of the things that are so devastatingly wrong about California right now, they need to make a change. And they need some fiscal responsibility in this state that they don't have.
You know, it just seems that every time we come back to California because of our businesses here as well mm-hmm. as Texas, but when we come back to California to do business, there is some new shenanigan that the governor and the legislature have weaseled past the voting public here, right? Non-legislated, they just do it themselves, right? Nobody's voting on it, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And did you see that article about the new Senate bill in California, was Assembly Bill 1668, with this water regulation and water fining now for California citizens? Did you see that?
I did see it. I'm not sure it's going to start just yet, but here's what I'm wondering about that, and then we can talk about that, is because California had a supermajority, they were able to pass things without getting any approvals from anybody.
Now, right, no initiative process.
Now they've lost that. What happened was they had one of their people, one of their Democrats, that was just taken out of office in this last election. So Senator Josh Newman lost his seat. He was recalled in the election. And just prior to that, Democrats had lost a supermajority last February when a lawmaker was accused of sexual misconduct and he resigned.
Now, Newman was from Orange County, right?
Yes.
He's a Democrat out in Orange County.
In Orange County.
Okay.
So now they've lost two people. That stopped the ability for them to have the supermajority now.
Because I think Assemblywoman, the Chinese gal, Lingling Chang, who's a Republican, won that seat.
Exactly. So now they don't have the supermajority. So that is going to stop them from willy-nilly making all of these rules without any initiatives, like you said.
Well, I want to talk about this water thing again, all right? Because with this new bill, and you remember one of the reasons we left California, because we had an avocado and citrus ranch, was the water bills were just ridiculous.
Yes.
Well, now what they've done is they passed a bill that only gives 55 gallons of water per person to a family. So just think about that, 55 gallons of water. So you got to think about how many gallons does it take to take a shower? How much gallons does it take to take a bath? What does it take to run a dishwasher? What does it take to do your laundry? What does it take to do your lawn and to irrigate your shrubs every single day? Or even if you do your lawn like twice a week or whatever, what does it cost? And literally they were saying, that, and that's 55 gallons, and the way they're running this bill, I think, is that then it goes down to 50 in another year, then it goes down to 45, and
I heard a little bit different, but what similar.
Did you hear?
I heard 55, but let me ask you, did they already pass that?
Well, I thought they did.
Is it just on the table?
No, I think they passed it. But here's what I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
There was a brand new survey that came out in the San Francisco Bay Area, where I'm originally from. And what it said was, well, they were asking, they took 1,000 people in the San Francisco Bay Area, and they said, why are you leaving California? And they said four different reasons, okay, or a combination of four. Number one, the taxes were so bad and repressive. Just cost them so much money to live. Number two, the traffic. Number three, homelessness. And number four, just the repressive liberal politics. Those are the four main reasons people are leaving California.
Well, I can relate.
And, you know, we talked about this about a week or so ago. You had some research from God knows where you got it. But the new research was that they're going to four states primarily.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they? They're Oregon, they're Washington, they're Nevada, and they're Texas.
Well, I'm not surprised at any of those, and that's exactly what I've seen as well. But I want to get back to your water dilemma here, because it's really interesting. So 55 gallons of water, if each resident of California is going to be allotted 55 gallons of water per day, per person.
Right.
Okay. Let's translate that a little bit. So 55 gallons of water, what does it take for you to take a bath?
Well, I don't know. You're the bath taker.
Okay,
I can tell you what it takes to do a shower.
What is a shower?
I think it takes between 10 and 15 gallons of water to run a shower.
Okay, well, I've really got you beat there. It's 80 to 100 gallons.
Well, I've seen your bathtub. It's the biggest bathtub I've ever seen in my life for one person.
I love my bathtub. It takes 80 to 100 gallons of water to take a bath. So everybody in California can just basically forget that one.
Now, might I mention, though, mm-hmm. all right, for full disclosure, we've got a well. Okay,
yes.
And we live on a river, and we pay zero for water because
yes.
we pump our own water out.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. To run your dishwasher, about 40 gallons. To run your washing machine, 40 to 50 gallons, and that's one load. So let's not, you know, if you had a house of four people, sure, you got
right.
kids, and you got you know, whatever, especially babies. That,
because I know we got our two kids staying with us while mm-hmm. their house is being built, and I've never seen
so much laundry
in my entire life.
or let's, you know, just talk about your drinking water, or you can just probably forget ever watering your plants again or having a lawn again.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
There are so many ways that we use water. Washing your dishes. Just all of these things, and it's really an unlivable amount. Now, let's talk just for a moment about the waste of water in California, Ron.
Well, in this same article that I saw, this assembly bill and everything, they said that on a daily basis in the state of California, you know, up and down the state, with all the bad pipes we have, remember how we paid all that money because they said they were going to redo the infrastructure?
Oh, absolutely.
Remember?
Constantly paying that money, yes.
All right. So we've been paying into that. And then down in Southern California, down in Los Angeles, they've got, what is that called? The LA?
The DWAP, the Department of Water and Power?
There you go,
yeah.
Which is a huge, powerful organization.
Yes.
Anyway, statewide, every single day, they lose from from leakage and spillage over 988 million gallons a day. 988 million gallons a day.
Wow, that's a huge figure. I heard it as an annualized figure of something like 290 billion. I don't know what honestly know what's right.
Okay.
But let's just talk about too, the infrastructure with the pipes and so forth is so bad. We constantly have pipes breaking under the ground in California, up in Northern California and in Southern California, and we also have a tremendous amount of problems with our dams and our reservoirs.
Oh,
so
exactly.
They
right.
have not kept up the infrastructure. So now the people of California are going to have to suffer with their water because the state did not appropriately spend the money that they paid to have these things fixed along the way.
Well, do you remember about a month ago you and I were having a conversation and I brought up the whole they legalized marijuana a year ago, and they said that about 24% of all the water runoff that goes through the little streams and creeks mm-hmm. and everything that goes into the bigger rivers, that is all contaminated because of all the illegal pesticides and fertilizers and this and that that they're dumping into those creeks and streams is going to reduce the water table by 24% top of that.
I bet it's being diverted as well to water. But let me say one more thing about the elections in California. There was no two Democrats that ended up being on the ballot. It's a Democrat and a Republican. This was not what they were expecting. And this is going to give people a real choice here in California to really look at making some changes and think about if they really want a sanctuary state, think about if they really want sanctuary cities, think about if they want these high taxes and the high gasoline taxes and the rationing of the water and all of these types of things. They need to make some choices here.
Well, you know, they were talking about this blue wave, and I'm sorry, I don't see it coming. I think that's a big, huge... I'm not saying I'm not concerned about it, sweetheart, but it's not the way it came out. And if it was going to come out, it'd come out in California
first.
Exactly. Sure. So Newsom got 33% of the vote. John Cox got 37% of the vote. And Villaraigosa, I mean, God, he was like 11.4% of the vote. So, I mean, he's history. But isn't that interesting that John Cox, the Republican, scored 37% of that vote? That gives some people a little hope.
Well, it does. But what we have to be concerned about is where that 11% that voted for Villaraigosa is going to go. Because if that goes to Newsom, Newsom would never be my choice to be governor of the state of California.
Oh, I think
going to be a disaster for
them. I think he'd be worse than Brown. You know, and that's hard. Brown is incompetent, but Newsom is smart. But I think he would be another Barack Obama for California. Now, let me say one more thing, mm-hmm. and that is one thing that I really did like is, you know, the person that I can't stand. I wrote about him in my Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter book, and that's George Soros.
Oh,
and
definitely.
I watch him religiously and what he does, and that Open Society Foundation and that Tides Foundation that filters money into all the radical, militant, revolutionary, Marxist groups and Black Lives Matter, all of these things, because he wants to disrupt society. And what he did is got a bunch of high-level donors, including the wife of the co-founder of Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
They gave, just her gave $659,000 to leftist candidates for district attorney positions throughout the state of California, because Soros wants to change the criminal justice system in California, which is already screwed up.
Right.
But they wanted to change it, and the thing that I liked about it is not a single one of those candidates got elected. As a matter of fact, the more of the leftist candidate that ran against the Sacramento County district attorney, and that was Anne Marie Schubert, and that guy's name, by the way, was Noah Phillips, she defeated him with 65% of the votes, almost two-thirds of the vote, which is just a trouncing. So she gets to keep her position as district attorney. None of Soros' people got in there, and I really think that that's a good thing for us.
Yep, I do too.
Well, listen, I've got enough iced tea, but I will pour you your own drink.
Thank you.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Thank you for the iced tea.
My pleasure, ma'am. Hey, I read your article in America Out Loud.
Well, thank you. It's great that you read my articles.
Of course I read your articles, okay? And they make, because they make sense. So I thought maybe we could just spin that a little bit and talk about that.
Well, you know, this was something that kind of came to me just as I was driving and listening to the news. And, you know, you hear all the same kind of garbage on the news every day. And so much vitriol, so much criticism of our president, just constant criticism, obstruction, so forth. And I started thinking about, well, to what end? I mean, to what end, where are we going with this? So we're criticizing him. Let's just say, let's extrapolate that to its logical conclusion. And those people that want President Trump out, get him out. What is the purpose? What did they see in the previous administration that they would like to go back to? Because honestly, I don't see anything that I'd want to go back to.
Well, you know, first of all, I really liked your title because it's short and sweet and it really hits the point. And the next thing is, right to your point, okay, I get that for some reason you don't like what President Trump is doing, which actually is amazing in moving this country forward. But what would you put in its place?
Right. And that's what I keep thinking about. We have so much talking going on, but no answers and no solutions that are better. And we have our House and our Senate obstructing every single thing that he tries to do. To what end? What are we gaining as Americans from that obstruction? I just don't get it.
You know, we've never seen, well, not never, that's not what I mean. Well, I'd just say in the last 20 years, we've never seen such dramatic job growth. Okay, we've never seen the climb of the GDP at nearly 4%, and they're saying that maybe in this next quarter, we're going to get 4%, at least at the fiscal year, we're going to get 4%, where we didn't have anything close to that. It was just an absolutely anemic economy. I thought it was a repressed economy. As a matter of fact, we went through a serious recession, okay, and job growth was like minimal, and now we've got great job growth. And the thing that I like, and of course President Trump talks about it, we've got tremendous job growth in the African American community, job growth in the Hispanic community,
among women, among teenagers, so, among everybody. There is nobody that has been left out here.
So what would you put in its place?
Exactly. And that is, here's how I see this. I see us, Ron, as really average Americans. We are every man to me. In our eyes, we are the people that just are going to work every day and doing our thing, raising our family, you know, that type of thing.
But I also see us as good business people, common sense business people. We don't do things extravagantly. We budget for our businesses. And I think we're very, very reasonable. And we are 100% a part of this economic engine.
Yes, but I think that so many other people like us. So my my point is that if I can see this, if you can see this, if you can see what's going on to our president, and you can ask yourself, what do you want to go back to? Do you want to go back to no job growth? Do you want to go back to a president who is constantly calling you racist? Do you want to go back to the discord that we had in the country? Do you want to go back to Hillary Gate
and Benghazi and all the and Fast and Furious and just all these scandals that former President Obama thinks he didn't have on his watch? You want to go back to all of that stuff?
No, and here's what I want to do. I want to do exactly what we're doing. It's moving this country forward. Taking the regulations off of businesses has grown our job market tremendously. It's given people hope again. It's given them jobs. It's given them livelihoods. It's given them homes and places to live. These are basic human issues.
And by the way, we have so much further to go, because in your article, you were talking about the tremendous costs of medical care. And, you know, pretty much everybody that works for me, except a couple of people, are subcontractors. So I don't have the type of, you know, full-time staff all the time that you do. All right. And I know that you are always wringing your hands about the tremendous cost of medical care that you put in for your staff, but also you're frustrated. And I hear, you know, when you come home at night and we talk about this stuff, you're frustrated because your people can't get good medical care under this, you know, the old Affordable Care Act.
Well, they can't,
it's so frustrating.
Because they've made the deductibles so high for
it's like $6,000, right?
For the average person, that most people don't spend that much in a year. So they can't go and get their regular exams and their normal things that they need done. You know, one person needs a surgery that cost about $6,000. So basically they'd have to pay for it out of their own pocket.
That's a total washout.
It's
right,
a total washout. So, and then it starts over again next year. And I feel so badly for them, because it's not just my employees, it's all employees in the country that are dealing with this, that have these issues that they can no longer, you know, it's like not having any health care at all for the most part, unless you have something catastrophic happen. And most people really don't. So really, they didn't give something with Obamacare. They took so much away from people. And the appointments for doctors are so much longer and harder to get. So many doctors are not taking insurance anymore. It's really made a mess.
Let's talk about that for a second. Throughout the United States, there are, you know, there's a whole bunch of locations where the doctors are not taking the Affordable Care Act patients. And that's not what the American public bought into.
Yes. Well, I just got a notice today, in fact.
Oh, you got to read the bill. No, wait a minute. You got to pass the bill to read it, right?
Yeah. Well, I just got a notice today that they couldn't come to terms with some of the hospitals in the area, at least near my business, and therefore you can't go to those hospitals. So let's just say that something happens to one of my employees at work, the closest hospital no longer will accept them.
That's absolutely ridiculous. And again, that's not what the American people bought into. But let me just switch gears with you for a second, because I want to talk about this whole issue of obstructing the Trump administration's ability to staff the different departments.
Oh, sure. Oh,
because that is really hurting us. There are hundreds of judicial appointments that need to be made, okay? And we have a civil and a criminal justice system that absolutely needs to have manpower. It needs to be sourced with judges, because there is a huge backlog of cases. And I see this in my business, where mm-hmm. I'm dealing both on the criminal side and on the civil side, and the calendars for courts and calendars for trial are absolutely ridiculous, where people have to wait months to years to have their cases heard. And these Americans, many of these Americans, especially in the civil rights cases that I work, on both sides, they need to be heard. Officers need to have their cases heard so there can be justice for them when they're wrongfully accused. And then also people that have civil rights violations, they need to be heard so they can receive justice.
Well, and so many more people. Just, again, your average American needs to get whatever their case is adjudicated. We all have the right to that. And we all have the right to a swift trial and to move on with our lives. And that's not happening. And that is really, really sad. And this is political gamesmanship that's happening.
It is.
Again, I have to ask, to what end? What is the end game with the people that are obstructing it? Is it? Here's my answer. I don't know that I know the answer, but here's my answer. It's the only one that I can think of. It is so that they maintain their positions of power or so-called power, so that they can continue to feather their own nests and fill their own pockets and not be doing the work of the American people. They don't want you to look in their direction. They want you to look away. So if you keep pointing the finger at somebody else, maybe they won't look at you and all of the things that you are doing and not doing for the American people.
Well, the distractions, I mean, we can go on and on talking about all the distractions, but the refusal and the obstruction and the resistance to allow our president to pick these judicial appointments, and also these Department of State and all these different things that we need to have, these various agencies and departments that really need to be filled. The VA needs to be filled. All of these different departments and agencies have hundreds of spots that need to be filled in order for this government to function properly. And they don't want the government to function properly. They would rather see the American people be sacrificed on the altar of power than do the right thing.
I really appreciate how President Trump continues to move forward and not let all of this vitriol and hatred affect him, and he just continues to do his job as America's negotiator.
And I think that's right. And the people do not understand President Trump, and it's so unfortunate, because you could just pick up one of his books, for instance, The Art of the Deal, and you could see that even back in the 80s when he wrote that book, this is a brilliant negotiator. They may not like his temperament, but he is absolutely a brilliant negotiator, and it is coming to pass. And we are seeing that we are starting to place America in a much better position strategically and powerfully around the nations that have been hurting us for years with respect to, you know, tariffs and unfair trade practices, and even these things like, you know, you mentioned North Korea. And I know we were talking about how many people have been released from their bondage and imprisonment.
In other countries, 17.
In other countries. Look at that. There we got our dog in here. So what would the people that are obstructing the president and criticizing him, what would they say? What would you want? Do you want those people still in custody?
Well, I'm saying. I'm not sure what they would say. And I think, you know, my dad used to have a saying that said something like, you know, opening your mouth and removing all doubt about how stupid you are or something. And I feel like that with a lot of people when they just continue to, no matter what the situation, they've got something bad to say about every single thing the president does. And for me, I'm just looking at it every day like everybody else. And I'm just not seeing it. I'm not seeing the bad. I'm seeing a whole lot of good, and I'm seeing a lot of forward movement in this country. And I have to say one more thing about that, Ron, that I haven't said to you at all. My business, since President Trump, and especially this year, is booming, and my clients' businesses are booming, and I can firsthand see the improvement in the economy and in the businesses.
Well, you know, the proof is in the pudding.
And speaking of President Trump recently granted clemency to a woman, the woman that Kim Kardashian went to petition for, which actually she also had petitioned to Obama to grant clemency, and he did not.
But he had not. What's that woman's name?
This woman is Alice Marie Johnson. She's a great-grandmother. She was sentenced to a life in prison for a nonviolent drug charge. So she was a woman who had a whole bunch of bad things happen in her life. Her son died. She got divorced. She lost her job.
I think she looked. She worked at Federal Express, right? And then she lost her job at Federal Express.
I didn't know where she worked, but she did not. She was not a drug seller or anything like that. She simply kind of was a go-between people. Got arrested and got life in prison. She has served 20 years in prison.
And she became an ordained minister. I heard her talking on Fox the other day. They were interviewing her. I thought she was absolutely upfront, extremely remorseful about what she had done. She said, and by the way, I thought the advice that she gave was great advice. She says, when I think back on it, I made a very, very rash decision because I was in a panic. I'd lost my job. I had no money. I didn't know what I was going to do. And this offer came to me to be a go-between where, you know, I wouldn't directly get my hands dirty, so to speak, in doing, you know, major drug sales. But she did admit that she was involved as an intermediary, and she has devoted her life to God and helping other people.
She's been a model prisoner?
No problems with her, but I thought it was so interesting because people are slamming our president, you know, for racism and everything. Who is the guy that has pardoned and expunged that the famous world champion boxer, Johnson, right?
Yes.
Who is the person that has pardoned this woman?
Yes.
All right? And how can you say that about a man that is trying to do something good and make it right? And let me bring up one other thing that I thought was extremely interesting about what President Trump said. This whole take a knee thing, right, and these so-called social justice warriors. And what he said is if these players, first of all, he goes, I'll put together a task force. I want to hear from these NFL players and all these professional athletes that are taking a knee. And he said, I will come to this meeting and you tell me where there has been injustice. And when there has been injustice and we find that there's injustice, we will get to the bottom of it and make it right. However, we will get to the bottom of every one of these cases and tell you whether there's been justice or not justice meted out.
Well, just as an aside for that, Kaepernick is subpoenaing the president and the vice president because he didn't get work after his efforts. But anyway,
yeah, that's his own fault.
Yeah. So what, you know, but the dichotomy here that I want to bring up to you is a couple years ago, there was a 13-year-old girl in Colorado Springs that was gang raped by six young men. And she may never be able to have children. She was terribly gang raped by these young men. And they're still going through the adjudication process. Some were minors and but here's just two that were adjudicated this week, Ron. And let's just compare this to the woman we just spoke about who got a life sentence. These two young men received probation for gang raping a 13-year-old girl.
That's absolutely incredible. You know, when I was a detective and working sexual assaults, I had a gang rape of a 13-year-old girl by teenagers and one adult, and they all got prison. Every single one of them did.
Well, how is it that this just injustice that has happened to this young lady, first she was raped one way and now she's raped by the court, in my opinion.
Right.
So, I mean, then you look at this woman who was granted clemency and you look at the dichotomy of
the sentencing.
The sentencing, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Well, now I'm down to the bottom of my iced tea, so I'm going to ice up and
okay,
throw some more in there.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. there haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Well, I'm all iced teed up, and I'm ready for some good news.
I'm always ready for good news.
All right. So, you know, we've been beating Starbucks to death recently.
which is fun to do.
But the good news is that that irascible, I'll use that name, you've never said that before, Howard Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks, is resigning.
Does that mean Desi can have her pupper, what is it called? Puppuccino?
Puppuccino. Yeah.
Her cup of whipped cream again.
I think it could begin. But he's resigning. I think he's going to run for political office. The word is he's going to try to run for president. Let me know how that suits you.
Yeah, good luck with
you.
That.
But the other thing is, remember, just 2 weeks ago, they did all that training. They closed down those 8,000 stores nationwide. And to do training, and you know that cost them tens of millions of dollars.
Well, they had to pay that wrapper too.
Guess how they're going to make up that loss, right? Oh, it always comes back to us.
Of course, we're going to pay for it.
You darn right we are. They just raised all their prices on coffee.
Yep.
So again, this is what I talked about, Mr. Schultz. He deflects and redirects the blame to us. We're the bad guys, and so he's the good guy. They put our values into our coffee. They got in trouble for it. So they decide they're going to go out and train everybody. But somebody's going to pay the piper on that. And it's going to be us again. So I know that you like to get the dog the whipped cream. But I'm still boycotting
okay.
Starbucks. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, but I have a good news Starbucks story.
Okay.
You
let me
might
hear
like.
That. Let's mitigate the damage.
Oh, okay. Well, so there's a young lady that works at a Starbucks. And her name is Sienna Bren, and she was at work, and she was just hanging out. And she's from Ethiopia, and she's come here, and she's worked very hard. She was in an abusive foster home, had a bad life type of thing. And she went to high school. She earned a scholarship. She graduated with honors, and she's working 35 hours a week at Starbucks to make a living, okay? So then we have another young man, and these two people's roads intersect in life. And his name is, I don't know his first name, but his last name is Jabale. And he was a Grammy Award winner and manager to a rap artist. He was diagnosed with a brain tumor that is cancerous.
Oh, that's
He
sad.
Decided to stop what he was doing in the music industry and go kind of on a goodwill tour of doing good things for people. So this young lady, Sienna, was working at Starbucks, and she went out to the back to empty the trash. And he literally jumped out of the trash in the back and presented her with a brand new car. She had had no transportation whatsoever, was always taking public transportation, and this was one of his ways of giving back to the world.
Scaring her and almost causing a heart attack, right?
No, in the time that he has left in the world. So I thought that was really a great story.
That is a nice story.
Yeah.
I've got a funny story.
Okay.
All right. So you know that President Trump is doing the G7 right now in Canada, but he'll be going from there directly to Singapore, right, for the big meeting with Kim Jong-un. Well, it seems that already the impersonators have already been flying into Singapore, to just work their magic around the crowds. And so we've got a Kim Jong-un and a Donald Trump impersonator that arrived in Singapore just today, and they're walking around in the crowds, and I saw a funny video of them holding hands together.
Oh, I'm going to have to look that up.
Walking around in the crowds, but the poor guy that was the Kim Jong-un guy, he said he got detained at the airport for 2 hours. So anyway, so that's my funny news story of the day.
All right. Well, I want to tell you about a couple of new products that are coming on the market.
I love new products.
Okay. Well, here's one of them. One of them is Walmart is rolling out its own line of wines. So remember the $2 Chuck?
I do.
Which is now $3 Chuck.
But you know what? I'll tell you the truth. I don't want to sound like a redneck, but I love $2 Chuck.
I thought it was just fine, to be honest with
you. Do you remember what we did with our wine snob friend?
Do you remember what we did
with her?
I was not going to mention
that. Don't tell that story. Remember, she was a wine snob, and she said she knew all these different types of wines and everything.
Well,
and we were just sick of her talking about wine all the time.
You know, it was just a matter of that she really put everybody down over wine. You know, everybody should enjoy what they want to enjoy, right?
Absolutely.
And if we would bring wine, you know, she always would put people down and say that our wine wasn't good enough. So the one time that we went to a party, and in fact, she used to steal our wine and hide it in her cupboard.
I know. What was that all about?
Well, I don't know. I guess she liked it after all. But it was so interesting because I poured some $2 Chuck into a nicer bottle.
Into an expensive bottle of wine.
And she just raved about how much she loved it. Where when it was in the $2 Chuck bottle, she didn't like it at all. So, you know, I mean, I get the brands are important, but not that important. Just do what you like, which is what I choose to do. But anyway, Walmart is rolling out its own line of wines. These are not going to be $2 or $3 bottles. They're going to be $11 bottles.
But just tell me they're bottles and they're not box
they're
wine.
Not boxes.
I draw the line at box wine.
Okay. So they're from California, France, and Italy is the, you know, where the wines are from. And they are really equivalent to a $30 or $40 bottle of wine, but you get it for $11. So, you know, that's something to be looking for in your Walmart coming up pretty soon.
Well, that's pretty cool.
And then if you're really interested in fragrance, Ron, as I'm sure that you may not be.
When was the last time I put some cologne on?
Well,
I can't even remember.
This would not be for you. This would be for me. However, I will never be buying this. Mark my words. Do not give me this for a gift.
Okay, well, tell me what it is.
It is Stormy Daniels has a new fragrance out called Truth.
Boy, do they make that by the case?
The irony of putting something out called Truth by Stormy Daniels just
so the irony
is too interesting.
Just rings hollow for you. Is that what you're saying?
It absolutely does. So I won't be buying that. Well, there have been fantastic images of the volcanoes around the world that are erupting right now.
I've been watching them. Matter of fact, I watched a phenomenal video today done by National Park Service about the Kilauea volcano. I haven't been paying much attention to the Guatemala one, but I'm totally mesmerized by Kilauea.
Oh my gosh, some of the pictures are so incredibly beautiful that it's just amazing. I mean, what a treat to be able to see. I mean, I understand that there's certainly a side of it that's not so great and has taken a lot of people's homes and so forth.
But well, just yesterday,
what an act of nature this is.
Just yesterday, they took in 24-hour period, it consumed 400 homes with a 20-foot wall of molten lava.
Amazing.
I can't even picture that. But I love to watch the Kilauea because you and I go almost every year to the Big Island, and we've been there several times, and this is just like nothing anybody's seen.
No, I'd love to go see it, but I'm a little bit afraid to go see it. So.
Well, so am I.
But I want you to take a look at what I'm going to show you right now. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Go ahead.
Drum roll.
Take a look.
Oh, my God. What is that, Linda?
In Pompeii, and as you know, in Pompeii, we have Mount Vesuvius, right?
Correct.
And
we've been to Pompeii twice.
Pompeii is a fantastic place to visit. Well, they're still finding artifacts and people that are buried underneath all of that ash from so many years ago.
That's right, because they constantly do digs there, archaeological digs.
Yes.
And that's where they train, one of the places in the world where they train new archaeologists.
Yes. Well, they have uncovered a complete skeleton, which is just, I mean, as pristine as could be, except for what you're seeing right here in the picture. Is
I feel so bad for this guy.
This guy must have been running from the volcano.
And almost made it,
but got hit, I mean, literally smack in the face with a boulder the size of a door jam. I mean, just... I don't know what a door jam.
No, it's the size of a garbage can.
At least it is a garbage can.
I
mean, but they say it's a door jam from back in the day because they had stone houses.
Well,
but
is that a okay? Is that a carved square?
Yeah.
Okay, so like a building block, right?
Yeah,
that's what you're
like
talking about.
A building
about.
Block. Yeah.
Okay.
And so it must have just hit him right in the face as he was running, and he fell flat on his back.
Well, his whole body is showing except for his head, where the big square block is.
So his head is under that big square block.
You know what the last words he heard before he died were, don't you?
No, Ron, what were those?
It's probably duck. Or catch.
That's terrible. It's a fascinating skeleton because it's so intact. And except for that little part with the big rock, anyway.
Duck.
Yeah. So, okay, I have an animal story.
Okay, go with the animal story. I love the animal
story. I love this story. Okay, well, this happened in Kruger National Park in South Africa. And so you got to picture this again. Two giant crocodiles. And they're in their watering hole. And in those watering holes, you have all the animals getting drinks of water. So you have wildebeests and antelopes and so forth, which a wildebeest is an antelope. But you have them getting drinks of water. So the wildebeest goes down and gets a drink of water. And the big crocodile comes out and grabs him by the head.
I've seen a lot of videos like that.
Yep. Well, here's another one. And another crocodile comes up and grabs him by the leg. So you figure, oh, this is not going to go well, right? Well, out of the water come three giant hippopotami. Did I say that right?
Yeah, hippopotami. Okay. The plural in Latin.
Because I want to say hippopotamuses, but I know that that's not really correct. Anyway, three hippopotami come towards this whole scene, and you go, oh my gosh, what's going to happen now? They saved that wildebeest from those two crocodiles.
How did they do that?
Well, I don't know how they did it. But
well, come on, you're wrecking the story. How did they do it?
I guess
Mo, Larry, and Curly come out of the water.
Yeah, okay. And I guess the croc said, holy cow, I better be leaving because these guys are way bigger than me. And, you know.
So they saved the wildebeest.
They saved the wildebeest.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Well, I've got another good news story. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so New Year's Eve state trooper is going down the highway, and he sees a vehicle, and it's got tinted windows, and he's going to pull that vehicle over. He goes ahead, and he pulls the vehicle over, and the trooper's name is Michael Patterson. Well, he ends up stopping a guy by the name of Matthew Bally in the Kingwood Township of New Jersey. Well, what happens during the course of the conversation, you know, driver's license, proof of insurance, registration, please, sir, he sees the name, and they start talking. Both guys recognize each other's names. And it turns out that Patterson, Trooper Patterson, who had stopped Michael Bailey was a retired New Jersey State Trooper who actually 27 years before had delivered Trooper Michael Patterson.
Oh, my gosh. And how did he figure that out? By his name? Or
just by each other's names.
Oh, my gosh.
So, needless to say, no ticket was written, and both guys went on their merry way.
Well, good. That's a really interesting coincidence. Well, you know, a little earlier this evening, you and I were talking about those 55 gallons of water in California.
Yes.
Well, I have a solution.
What is it?
Well, there's a new product on the market.
Oh, my God. Are we back to your products again?
Yeah.
Well, all right. What do you got?
This is just going to help Californians immensely. There's a... Which article of clothing do you wash and wear the most?
Underwear and socks.
underwear. That is the number one article of clothing. Well, there's a company called Organics Basics in Denmark, I believe, that just made a new style of underwear made with silver that kills 99.9% of all bacteria.
Are you talking about silver thread? Like little tiny minute silver threads?
Well, I would assume so, because I don't think it would be like hard silver.
Man, those things weigh a lot. Yeah. Why does my underwear keep sagging?
Silver.
Why are all these homeless people following me around?
Silver prevents bacteria from forming. So it cannot form. So they put silver in underwear, and you never, literally never, need to wash them. I don't think I'll be buying these. However, they will last you forever.
Okay, but I would just tell those people that bought the silver underwear, that's cool, but don't go to TSA wearing that underwear. All right, it's going to be a search for sure. Because I could just see what that would look like. Well, first here on the magnetometer when you go through that, or that, you know, when you have your hands in front of that thing, that gigantic X-ray machine, imagine what that would look like.
It'll show your little underwear there. It'll say, I mean, it's made with cotton too, but So
it's
Californians
like,
won't need to wash their
underwear.
So it's like
that.
Good.
It's like that copper top underwear and stuff. The copper top things where they weave the copper into it. This is silver though, instead
silver,
of copper.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so what's it cost?
Well, I don't know what it costs yet.
How can you have a discussion with me like that and not even know what it costs?
I don't know everything about everything. I just try.
All right.
Well, I have two heroes of the day.
Good. Go for
it. So I have a little boy, a little fifth grader by the name of Tyler Karak. He lives in Florida. And, you know, there was at one point that he asked his mom if he could use his allowance money to buy a couple of police officers. I think there was four police officers standing around, and he asked at a donut shop if he could buy them a donut.
Oh, that's
nice. Yeah, so his mom said sure, so he did. Well, he was so impressed with those officers' gratefulness for him buying the donuts for him. He has been on a mission for the last 2 years to supply donuts to officers all across the country.
Because God knows officers can use donuts.
They need donuts. So he has distributed 65,000 donuts
in
31 states. His parents literally, they're supporting him in this. They take him to state, and he supplies donuts. And he has never been turned down by a department. He calls the department first and asks if he can come in and bring donuts. And, you know, he's just making it his mission. And in the 31 states that he's been to, somebody asked him, you know, well, which state did you like best? He said, every single one is different. I love them all. And that's the answer I would give, too.
Wow. That's absolutely amazing.
Isn't that
I
too
love
cool?
those stories about little kids, because it gives me hope for the future.
Well, it does. And, you know, my big hero of the day is Jennifer Potter. Jennifer Potter was a lady who... It was a assistant manager at an apartment complex in Indianapolis, Indiana, and she was tootling around the area, and she heard somebody calling for help, and it was a three-year-old child in a swimming pool who had fallen in.
Oh!
And she ran over there, jumped in, saved the child. But underneath that child was the child's pregnant mother, who had been under the child trying to hold the child
up. Oh, my God, and she didn't see that.
She saw it as soon as she got in. She ended up saving both the pregnant mom and the three-year-old.
Oh, my gosh.
So Jennifer Potter is my hero of the day.
Well, honey, that was a great way to end our conversation tonight.
Yeah, it was a good conversation, and I'm ready for bed.
So am I. See you there.
Okay.